Blog Talk Radio.
Precious saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are going to be talking this week about God and those that fear Him. God and those that fear Him. I'm speaking to you tonight. I'm speaking to all of us tonight. For we are the people of God and we fear Him. This week's study comes from Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. God will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. God also will hear their cry and will save them." Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the beginning of this series, this four-part teaching on this portion of Scripture. Bless us, O God, we pray, as we spend four consecutive days on this text. Holy Spirit, guide us. You are our guide. You are our teacher. You are our instructor, the one who illuminates us and reveals the true meaning of Scripture. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Guide us to all truth, we pray. Bless us as we consider this week God and those that fear him. Amen. Psalm 145 is a psalm of David. It is the last of the Davidic psalms in the book. This psalm was penned by the slain psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart. When you look at your outline, we're focused on Thursday, March 2nd, and we're going to be looking at that portion of the text, which is in purple. Now, the text has four colors to it, purple, green, brown, and blue. So we're focused on that portion of the text that is in purple. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now, when we refer to those who fear God, what are we speaking about? Well, let's turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 1, the book of Job chapter 1. God, in chapter 1, verse 8, is having a conversation with Satan. And this is what God says about Job. And the Lord said unto Satan in Job 1:8, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. There's that phrase. He fears God. God says, my man Job, my servant Job, fears me. In chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord repeats verbatim what he said in chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He holdeth fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. He's a man that fears God. To fear God is to regard God, is to have him in high esteem, is to hold God in high opinion, to honor him, to respect him, to admire him, to value him, to cherish him, to revere him, to venerate him, to worship him, to praise him, to celebrate him, to pay him homage. That's what it means to fear God. Now, that said, when we revere God and we venerate God and we worship God and we celebrate God and we praise him and we admire him and value him and respect him and honor him and we hold him in high opinion and we esteem him and we regard him, that's not lip service. We're to do that with our lives. To fear God is to keep his commandments and is to obey his every word. A lot of people fear God with their lips. They give God lip service, but there is really no fear of the Lord there because their life and their actions and the way they conduct themselves in public and even in private shows that they don't honor God. They honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. So this week we want to talk about those people who honor God with their lives, who do not taint the name of God by with their wicked actions. They actually cherish God in spirit and in truth. So again, God and those that fear him. Can God brag about you the way he bragged about Job? Can God speak of me in the same manner in which he spoke of Job? Again, let's read Job 1:8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you sized up, have you considered my servant Job, there is none like him in all the earth. He's perfect and upright and one that fears God. He honors me. He respects me. He admires me. He values me. He esteems me. He regards me. He cherishes me. He venerates me. He worships me. He praises me. He celebrates me, not with his lips only, but also with every action of his life. God and those that fear him. So in the text, there is a blessing. There's a four-part blessing for those who fear God. The first one is the Lord is nigh. He's near. He's close. All them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. The man, the woman that fears God is a man and a woman first and foremost of prayer. Prayer. So I would highly recommend these five things to those of you who are engaged in fearing God. Here are the five things. First, make prayer, calling on God, your highest priority. That ought to be the highest priority of your life. Praying, calling on God, seeking him in prayer. Now, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Because it says here in the text, David wrote, the Lord is nigh. He is near unto all them that call upon him. To call upon God is to pray to God. To all those who call upon him in a manner that reflects truth, biblical truth. We pray not as the heathen pray. We don't have prayer beads, and we don't have prayer candles, and we don't have mantras, and we don't have chants. We pray from the heart, as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, guides us and intercedes on our behalf. So we want to make prayer our highest priority. We want to make calling on God our highest priority. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8.
Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Now notice, he says, I exhort therefore, I strongly and forcefully encourage, that's what the word exhort is, I forcefully and strongly encourage that first of all, before anything, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. If we are to fear God, if we're to reverence God, if we're to venerate him and worship him as he would have us to do, then we have to keep his commandments. We have to obey his word. And here is one of his commandments, to pray. In verse 8, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. The onus really on leading the prayer meeting is laid on the shoulders of men. Men are to lead. women follow. So, again, Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. That's the challenge. That's what God would have us to do. That the prayer meetings would be packed with men. Now, we know the truth. Our prayer meetings are highly attended by women and poorly attended by men. So, again, do I encourage you to do? Make prayer, calling on God, your highest priority, especially if you are a man. Number two, join our weekly Tuesday night concert of prayer. What's a concert? A concert is when you have different instruments and different voices joining together to make one beautiful sound, a concert. So there are what we call concerts of prayer, where different people at different levels in the Lord, at different stages of their Christian walk, join together every single week, each person in turn, playing their note, if you will, singing their note, if you will, in prayer. That's a concert of prayer. So let me take you to Genesis chapter 4, because this is the first time a concert of prayer took place. Genesis chapter 4. In fact, I wrote a little book entitled The Genesis of Concerts of Prayer, and it's right here in the book of Genesis. It says in Genesis 4, 25 and 26, and Adam knew his wife Eve again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, have appointed me another seed in Abel's place, whom Cain slew. And to Seth and to him also was born a son, and his name was called Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then, when Seth took over the church, when Seth took over the leadership role of the church, then he led every single day in what we would call concerts of prayer. Men began to pray, and with good reason. The church was under attack. The infant church, the primitive church, the ancient church, the antediluvian church was under attack. The first martyr, Abel, killed by Cain, his brother. Thus, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Remember the text. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. So let me encourage you to make prayer in your personal life your highest priority. But secondly, let me encourage you to join us every Tuesday night as we gather together to pray for different things. We're all assigned a different thing to pray for every single week. And each in turn, we pray, we call upon God, and when all is said and done, at the end of the evening, we had a concert of prayer. We had a time of calling upon the name of the Lord. Then began men. There's the emphasis again. Men leading the prayer meeting. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Number three, do your due diligence to live nigh, close to the Lord. Listen to me, saints. Make it your business. Make it your priority to live as close to God, as nigh to God, as near to God as you can. Don't let anyone put daylight between you and God. Snuggle up to God, get as close to God as you can, and don't let anyone bring the slightest division between you and God. Again, the text says, the Lord is nigh. He's near. He's snuggled up. He's close to all them that call upon him. You see, the moment you draw near to God, he draws near to you. James chapter 4. Let's go to James 4. The book of James, the apostle. And notice what James says. And here it is. In James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word submit in Greek, it's hupotasso. Hupotasso means line up under God's military leadership. It's a military word. Hupotasso is a military word. It means come under the leadership of your general. In context, the general is God. Hupotasso yourselves, therefore, to God. And thus, you can resist the devil if you're under God's leadership, if he's the general, if God is leading the battle, you can resist the devil and you will put him to flight. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. What a revival text. This is a revival text. God will lift up the church if the church, person by person, saint by saint, individual by individual, decides to draw nigh to God. And verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God. You draw near. You make the first move, and God will draw nigh to you. You pursue God, and he'll come close to you. He will let himself be found. So again, one, make prayer, make calling on God your highest priority. Two, join our weekly concert of prayer every Tuesday night. Three, do your due diligence to live your life nigh, close to the Lord. Another scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Things were going bad for David. The same man who wrote this psalm, the same man who wrote Psalm 145, things were going bad for him. It says in verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David and his men had suffered a great loss. While they were out in the battlefield winning the victory, the enemy was at the camp stealing the wives, the children, and the sons and the daughters, and taking them away while David and his men were away from the camp. When David got back, his men were so grieved, so disappointed in his leadership because their wives and their children were gone, that they were ready to stone the man of God. What did David do? Knowing how angry they were and how disappointed they were and how dumbfounded he was, he went and drew nigh to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, when you draw nigh to God, he'll encourage you. When you, after suffering a defeat, after suffering a major catastrophe in your life, if you draw nigh to God, he will encourage you. Life will throw us many curveballs. Life will throw so many things at you that you will be confused. But if you go to God, if you draw nigh to God and seek his encouragement, he will strengthen you. So again, the word is what? Draw nigh to God. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in what? In truth. Number four. do your due diligence to seek the Lord, who is the truth, and do it in truth. All of these scriptures here refer to Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And when we seek God, we seek him in the truth of the light of Scripture. In Scripture, we find truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus, the Messiah, is the ultimate truth. And we are encouraged to do our due diligence to seek him in what truth? It says here in the Psalm, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in what? In truth. If you're seeking God, but you're praying to Mary and you're saying, oh, Mary, Mother of God, help me with Jesus. Can you talk to Jesus for me? That would not be seeking God in truth. Why? Because the Bible prohibits us from praying to the dead. We're not to pray to dead people. Mary has died. Mary's on, she's been in heaven for over 2,000 years. The Bible calls that a great abomination for us to be praying to the dead. We really ought to be praying to whom? The living God. If you're praying to God using candles, that too is not truth. If you're praying to God using beads, prayer beads, that also is not in truth. If you're praying to God sitting in a certain position with your hands stuck out as though they were antennas and repeating a certain mantra, that would not be in truth. Again, all of these passages in John tell us how to seek him who is in truth. You know, Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, those that worship God must worship him in spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, but in truth. They're being led by the Holy Spirit and praying as the Bible would have them to pray as Scripture would have them to pray, and to whom Scripture would have them to pray. So again, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in what? In truth. And I said there were five things. Now, one is not noted. One, I have listed four, but the fifth one I didn't list. And let me just encourage you to do this fifth thing. Keep a diary. Keep a notebook. Write down. Keep a journal. Keep an account of your seeking God every day, of your drawing nigh to God every day. Write down your experiences. Write down how God answered you. Write down how God communicates with you. Write down what you brought before the Lord and when he answered. Write down your history. Write down your relationship with God. And you will look back over the years and say, my God has never failed me. Write down your personal journey with the Lord. Keep a book of remembrance so that you can look back, and when you're going through hard times, you can go back and read what God did for you yesteryear and be encouraged, knowing that he who answered you in the past, he who saved you in the past, he who came to your rescue in the past, promise to do it again. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Who are those people? Those that fear him. Those who regard him, those who esteem him, those who worship him, those who venerate him, those who keep his commandments and obey his word. He will be nigh, he will be close, he will be near you. And if God be for us, if God is near you, if God is next to you, if God is standing right there by your side, who can be against you? The answer is no one. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Hupotasso yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and by golly, he will flee from you. That's the promise. We'll be back tomorrow to continue that portion of the text, which is in green, which reads, God will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. That is bonus number two. He will fulfill the desire of your heart. May God bless you and keep you. Take care.
In the shadow of his wings there is rest, sweet rest. In the shadow of his wings there is rest, sweet rest. There is rest from care and labor. There is rest for friend and neighbor. In the shadow of his wings there is rest, sweet rest. In the shadow of his wings there is rest.
There is rest, there is peace, there is joy, glad joy in the shadow of his wings.
There is rest.
Understanding, peace, God's peace that knows no ending. In the shadow of his wings, there is peace, sweet peace. In the shadow of his wings, there is
rest, that is peace.